The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of testing. We're on the page 5, Roman F under Roman numeral whatever. And we are dealing with the Exodus generation and their testing of God on 10 separate occasions. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You cannot approach the Word of God under your sin nature and expect good results. When you're in fellowship, you will understand the doctrine, and even if the teaching of it goes against you, that is, a critic, you will take it as unto the Lord and process it and hopefully do what you need to do. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have chosen the path of truth and understanding so that we can, in these very last days, fulfill our course and qualify ourselves as crown worthy. Thank you for this opportunity, and bless your word to those who are compliant. In Christ's name. Amen. All right, the Exodus generation tested God on 10 occasions. And that is documented in Numbers 14:22, which we have read. You put me to the test these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice. This was manifested by their continual rebellion against the content, as well as the leadership that God had so graciously provided the Israelites with, Moses and Aaron. Their objections were not simply directed towards a particular test, but also directed towards their leaders. This is something you cannot, as a believer, afford to do. Be at odds with your spiritual leader in time. As Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. So, here at Maranatha Church, I, your spiritual leader, your pastor teacher, have made a decision, and this decision is an inconvenience, but there are, from time to time, unusual things and inconveniences on the road to the goal. Example, when the Israelites were approaching the land, they had a choice, and that was to go, and they wanted to go the most direct route, which was through the territory of Edom. They didn't just walk through it because they were God's people. And Edom was a bunch of negative types. They made requests. They promised that as they passed through, they would not trash out anything, leave debris around, get into their wells or whatever it was. The Edomites acted nasty. They had an opportunity to do something to gain some blessing. But they didn't. They refused entry, traversing through the land of Edom, and so the Israelites had to go a roundabout way. You can read all about it in Numbers and beyond. So, again, we as believers in the last days may find ourselves from time to time inconvenienced. This is, for many, an inconvenience. But it is not an insurmountable obstacle to our continual spiritual growth and flourishing. Even if, as perhaps some do not agree with my decision, it is a decision that has been made by your spiritual authority in Jesus Christ, who does not take these matters lightly. I've tried to explain my rationale as to why I made the decision The rationale is, one, I, believe it or not, and this church is trying to be a witness before the general society and before the governing authorities to be compliant for the time being with their requests until this thing passes by, and it will pass by. They've got to get the economy going again. They can't grind this on forever. People will be up in arms. So they've got to do something. So pray for them. It's easy to be critical. Just pray for them. Pray for our authorities. And I'm seeking to do two things. Stay in the will of God. Crank out Bible doctrine through this forum that God's given us. As well as backing off for the time being with regard to regular assembly and comply with one of their guidelines, which is no more than 10 gathered together at a time. So I don't know how to make it any clearer. See, it's Romans 13. It's also not just the letter of it. It's the spirit. They observe us as being compliant under the laws of divine establishment. They have not asked anybody at any time that I am aware of to deny their faith and quit teaching biblical Christianity. If that were the case, that would be full-blown, right up front, in-your-face persecution. And we would endure that, and whatever consequences might come to us. So, all right, some inconvenience. Here's the thing, royal family. Get a relaxed mental attitude. Stay in fellowship. And make the most of the situation. God has things for you, even under the restraints that some of us are imposed. I know a number of you would like to be at work and in full mode. That's been taken away from you. And so it's a form of suffering. But you need to make the most of this time that God has given you away from your normal routine. And look at it that way. It's a part of our history as a body in Christ in time. And you will see God's hand in the little things. If you need anything and you're in this church, any kind of help, monetarily or otherwise, let our leaders know. We'll see what we can do. You don't need to languish. We will help you if at all possible. We're here for one another. We don't want one member of the body suffering where we can step up and take care of their needs. Now, I probably wouldn't be doing this doctrine. I don't know. I don't know what I'd be doing. I probably wouldn't be doing this doctrine and reviewing the Exodus generation. I didn't do it to come down on some of you and say you're just like them. I did it because it's in the doctrine of testing. And this subject of the Exodus generation is repeated in two places in the New Testament as a warning to believers in local churches to not fall into that kind of a mode. Complaining about your circumstances, your testing. It maladjusts you to what God is trying to do in our lives. I know we all have complain about things from time to time. It's a common human sin in the human race. What we're trying to avoid here is a continual pattern of engaging in this verbal sin. When they criticize Moses and Aaron, then they were complaining against their leadership. And when you are maladjusted to what your leader's doing, don't like it, then you're not going to be able to separate that from what he's teaching you, even if it's just right on. You can't easily separate those two things out. The funny one I heard in the past from a member I used to have, I don't like Jack, but I like his teaching. Well, that doesn't work. See, that doesn't work. So I would say for the members of the royal family here, you have followed me, a lot of you, for decades. And I've had to make decisions. And this was one of those decisions. That's what, that was out of left field, that was different. But I gave you my reasons. I don't like to have to keep restating them and emphasizing why I did what I did. What I did in the day still holds up. Read carefully Romans 13, 1 through about 7. Read that over again and think about it. The church has a responsibility within the nations that they are in to support the nation that they that is providing for them an environment so they can assemble and worship God according to their consciences. And we ought to support them with, one, our prayers. Two, I don't care if the government is riddled with corruption, as it is in many places today. I don't care. Paul didn't say, well, it's those awful pagan Caesars and Senate and all that up there. He said, pray for these people. They do provide a service. Law and order. Maintaining all this out here that's a part of the government's responsibility based on our tax dollars. Now our government, our local government, our state and city are going to begin to suffer because they do not have the revenue that comes from people going out to the mall and all the other places they've been going out to. And the shutdown of the small businesses. So they're going to have to deal with the upshot on all that. So they provide that for us. And if they've asked us to do this, now again, you may be of the opinion that this is all a grand hoax. But you got all the data, right? You got all the information. This isn't a big deal. That it's all man-made and made up. Even if that's true, then to what degree, that's on their head. Woe be to them. But we are not in a position to determine that 100%. We're here to forge ahead with Bible doctrine under these conditions. I didn't say the last two classes, some people are too sensitive, that you're just like these people. If you were just like these people, you wouldn't even be listening to me. You'd have hit the road a long time ago. But you're still here. The thing is, don't let this virus get into you through sitting around and talking about what should have been done. If you say you back me, then you should back the viewpoint that I'm basing this on. Otherwise, it's just talk. See, we had an opportunity to apply. We came out of left field, get the opportunity to apply under Romans 13. It's one of the first verses that was put in front of me for consideration. And yes, I had Hebrews 10:35, which I'm fully aware of, put in front of me for my consideration. So I had to, rather than make just a snap decision. Usually, on big deals like this, snap decisions aren't good. You have to get wise counsel. You've got to listen to people you respect in the Lord. And then as a leader, prayerfully make the final decision. That's how this went down. I wish I didn't have to belabor that. But I have to, so I will. All right. Israel had 10 tests. This is academic. Israel had 10 corporate tests that they were to experience in those first couple years. And they established a pattern of maladjustment to situations due to some need. We covered the panic of the Red Sea crossing, complaining over bitter water at Marah, number two. Number three, complaining over no food in the wilderness of Sin, Exodus 13. And then another one, and a lot of these come real quick. We're not even to Sinai yet. Failure to follow instructions in the collection of manna. Now here's another one. Exodus 16 and verse 20. God had the issue of providing food for people in an environment where food was not available. Certainly for that kind of numbers of people. They ran out of the food that they had. They ran out of the food that they had. And now get this. This is what's amazing in humans. We call it human psychology. What kind of a word describes this? They had just been delivered at the Red Sea and celebrated it. I told you last time or time before that they actually got themselves as a group in spiritual good order. And that's as simple as rebound and thinking clearly. They trusted in the Lord and they trusted in Moses when he finally got them to shut up and watch the deliverance of the Lord. Imagine an event of that magnitude and to have seen it. To be delivered 100% and watch Pharaoh's army destroyed before your eyes. And then celebrate on the other side of it. And then step into the next test, bitter water, flunk it. And then complain about no food. Well, food and water are absolute necessities of life. I sometimes think about it every time I turn on a faucet. How grateful I am that, I have some kind of a purifier on my system, but that I have it to wash and clean at just a whim. And I don't have to go out in some well and drag it in here. I am so grateful for that. That system is maintained. So, in the wilderness, they ran out of food. You only so pack so much out of Egypt. God knew it. If you were an Israelite in this great big group of people, wouldn't you be processing everything? My family needs water. My family needs food. And this environment is not conducive to that. So our God's going to do something. He's going to get us water and he's going to get us food. How he does it, that's his business. Rather than when supplies run way low and the little ones may be a little hungry and all that, that people start complaining and grumbling and it goes through the group like a virus. Talk about God's patience with these people. This is the first generation. This is another reason I know the Bible is the Word of God. If these were Jewish legends and made up stories to make people look good, they would have not painted that generation with that black of a brush. No way. And that's reflected in that old time movie, The Ten Commandments. You remember Charlton Heston? The Pharaoh was Yul Brynner, whatever he's, yeah, something like that. Yeah, and in the storyline, they did do one thing. I might go back and look at it if I did today and think, oh, well, that's pretty cheesy. But at least they did a spectacular thing with the technology that they had then to show the parting of the sea. They took it seriously. But in the movie, the complainers were just a small group over here. The bulk of them were all okay, which is Hollywood playing games with the Bible because people can't handle that. People can't handle that storyline. A whole generation of believers in this state of mind. I'll give them the credit they have coming. Yeah, they left Egypt. Yeah, they cried out to the Lord when the oppression was great. Yeah, they got all their stuff packed together and they followed the cloud. And they built the tabernacle. They did that. That's to their credit. But when it came to tests, they didn't do well. Again, as I said, we've all flunked tests. Momentary tests, we've flunked them. Panicked, got upset, and the usual stuff. Tried to take matters in our own hand, work it all out. So we do flunk tests. But if this is just a continual pattern, then you are, well, you're in a form of reversionism. Because when you have an indictment against them that they, God said, 10 times they didn't listen to me and have not listened to my voice. Not just God speaking from the mountain. They didn't like that one. Just let Moses talk to us from now on. I thought that had been fun listening to God from the mountain. So, I mean, okay, so here's God. Okay, we'll accommodate you. You don't like the voice booming from the mountain? Vibrate you too bad? It's just God saying the same things Moses is saying. So we'll let Moses and Aaron be your spokesman. You can't handle that. See the things believers miss out on if they're not in fellowship and doing the right thing? They're just blinded to it. They don't see how God is working things out. And that is my prayer for you. You see how God is working in our history and working things out. I would have never, I don't say never, how do I know what I would do absolutely? But I think probably if this wasn't going on and somebody walked up to me and say, well, why don't we post your stuff on YouTube? I'd have probably, well, I don't know what I'd have done, but it wouldn't have been nice for them. I'd have probably shut it down. And I'm still going to process this after we re-meet. I'm going to have, and I'm going to get advice, I'm going to think it through, and try to continue to make something like this available if it is in God's will, doesn't violate any scripture, as a part of our outreach, which we've had for many years with our webpage, since the web was out and we put our stuff out there for people. And we don't know the full results of what that's done for people. It's evangelized people. We don't know that. That's not our problem. It's God's problem to get people to the truth. But we do make the step of making it available. And we don't violate any of the things that a lot of ministries do, begging for money, selling books. This is for all Christians aside from Maranatha that might hear this. You are not to merchandise the truth to people. Even to recoup your printing costs. We don't do that. And there's a verse. We're not to merchandise the Word of God. And churches merchandise stuff all over the place and it's inappropriate. We don't do that. And we never will, as long as I'm pastor. We have nothing to sell you. We have truth to give you. It's yours, regardless of your economic state. And anyone who wants to support Maranatha Church, that's between them and the Lord. Okay. What on earth they couldn't do? After that water test, it was a no food issue. And the sons of Israel, they say the most awful stuff. I don't hear anything like this from believers here on this order of absolute depravity. But this shows how far believers can get out of it. With it we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. Now, is that pathetic or what? You can't make this up. I know all of us some really dumb stuff has come out of our mouths. But I don't think any of us ever said, I'd rather have died back wherever I was. Because I'm under a test now. With very little food. They should have been so strong at this point. So ready for this test that it would be like cutting a cake. Nothing. Go to Moses. We've run out of supplies. What is God's plan for us, would you find out, with regard to feeding our bodies and all our children? That's all you got to do. We'll be praying. And when we sat by the pots of meat, oh, life in Egypt was glorious, wasn't it? Being beaten, worked all these hours, babies thrown in the Nile. Oh, it was wonderful, but we had pots of meat. Amazing, truly amazing, the mentality. We ate bread to the full. Well, we don't know if they did or not. And then Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. Another one for the books. Amazing. So what does God do? Kill them all off right then because they are so worthless? No. He tells them he's going to rain bread out of heaven. Bread like they've never seen before, nor anybody else had ever seen before. But it's real food. It's not synthetic. It's real food. It'll be rained out of heaven. And you can go gather a day's portion every day. And this is going to be a test. Once the bread falls down, because you flunked the test about faith resting up. So when the bread falls out of heaven, we'll see if you can pass this next test. And it's right on the heels of this one. And failure to follow instructions in the collection of the manna. Life is following instructions. You know from your job. There's certain things you are required to do to be successful. You need to follow instructions. If you're not, you might lose your job. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, God put Aaron in the mix. I'm reading verse 6. At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. You'll have empirical evidence that he has delivered you. You already have empirical evidence, but you're going to get some more. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints or grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? We are mortal people that no more could have delivered you from Egypt than anything, no matter what our talents. And you want to complain about us? God brought us to this point in our history, Maranatha. He's brought us down a long road, and he didn't bring us to this point to fail in the plan that he has for us. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. All right, I read that. Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening. Moses is a prophet, so this is a short term. You're going to get protein in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but they're against the Lord. Let's get right down to it. You complain about spiritual leadership, decisions. You're complaining against what God's doing. I truly believe God is with us and in it in this particular mode that we find ourselves in at this time. So here's the next test. And Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel. Someday somebody's going to be able to explain to me how Aaron could get this message out so quick. He had to have a line of communication through this kind of people. You can't yell loud enough for that many people to hear. So I was always wondering how they dispensed that information. I'm pretty sure they didn't have smartphones. So anyway, there we are. It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. I imagine it as a big flash or a heavy-duty reflection. We'll pick this up on our second session.